Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez and PJ Brandimarty for our last new episode of Our Reign on the Seminarian Show.
The Seminarian Show.
We're getting off to a great start for this
one. As I said before we started, we are limping to the finish line. So today we're going to be talking about probably what we should have started with much earlier in our time on the show, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're just going to give a brief overview and how you can use this to really bolster your faith life and hopefully your prayer life and incorporate it into learning what it is our church teaches. Before we go any further, if you could open us with a prayer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty, all-powerful, ever-living God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for allowing us to be members of your most holy church. And thank you for giving us this beautiful gift of the Catechism. Allow us to, in times of doubt, look to it. In times of hope, reflect on it. And allow us to always recognize what a beautiful gift this catechism is in our life of faith, in our journey to be with you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So the catechism, if we've got some of our separated brethren as listeners, is really everything that the Catholic Church really teaches is summarized in this book. It's how many pairs? It's a little over 2,000 and around 2,900 paragraphs of different statements and different things that the Catholic Church teaches, separated into four primary parts, which are the different main sections and how it's organized. And so just briefly overviewing the four parts of the Catechism, the first one is the Profession of Faith, which really goes over the Creed, the Deposit of Faith, and different things along that. The second part, celebration of the Christian mystery, which is really the sacraments and the liturgical worship of the Catholic Church, why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
The third, the life in Christ, which is Alfonso's favorite part.
Woo, woo, moral theology.
Moral theology part.
Yeah, do good, avoid evil, people.
So you just summarized all of part three with one statement.
Wait, I have a better one. Jesus good, sin bad.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wasn't that on the Catholic episode of The Simpsons? Wasn't that what Homer Simpson had written on his hand? Yeah. And on the other hand, on the arm was transubstantiation. And he got all the answers in CCD, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Faith and morals right there.
And then the last part is Christian prayer, which we did an episode on prayer some point, mm-hmm. and that really goes over the different parts, meditation, thanksgiving, adoration, the different kinds, contemplation, the different kinds of prayer. So just a brief overview. PJ, you're a big history buff. If you could go kind of into a little bit of the history of how we got. So you can't see it, but I'm holding, my version is a softback green version.
The big green book, as I like to call it.
Yes.
If I was, God forbid I ever get to the point where I would need a coat of arms with a motto, but my motto would be, just check the big green book, because the answer is in there, I guarantee it. So today in class, actually, we were talking about scripture, and we have a very nice woman. Her name's Karen. She's from the Methodist Theological Seminary in Ohio, right up the street from the Josephinum. And we were talking about scripture, and our professor says, I'm sure you studied scripture when you were growing up, but we Catholics usually study the catechism. And she had this look on her face like, what are they talking about? Are they subverting scripture? And the answer is no, absolutely not, because the catechism is the best thing ever, because it's the culmination of everything, scripture and tradition all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
It is vital to study scripture, but the catechism will point you to exactly what scripture you need, depending on what's going on in your life. So the catechism is a wonderful gift. We kind of take it for granted because anybody who's really under the age of 30 has always had the catechism.
Right.
Pretty much everybody growing up in the United States has always had a catechism. The Baltimore Catechism was standard for most of the 20th century. But this catechism is different because it's what's called a universal catechism. The church in her history has only done this twice. And that's a big deal. So the catechism is like this culmination of everything that we mm-hmm. believe, not meant to be a completely like all-encompassing, but to be like a good source of everything that the church believes. So after the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s at the Council of Trent, it was decided that we really need a solid resource to summarize the beliefs of God's Holy Church. And the answer was, we're going to come up with a catechism. Mm-hmm. Catechism is just a word that means a resource of all the belief. Mm-hmm. So they created the Catechism of the Council of Trent, and you can still get that today. It's really cool. And that was the first time in over 1,500 years since Christ that there was an authoritative source for all of Christendom, for the entire church, to know what we believe, why we believe it, and how we are supposed to put it into practice. Up until that point, you were really dependent upon your local priest to tell you, and your local priest was dependent upon the bishop, and the bishop was dependent upon some guy in a room with all the letters that your local diocese may or may not have mm-hmm. to really talk about what the teachings were. That's why there was a lot of inconsistency throughout Christianity. But when we have the catechism, we're all literally on the same page. Everybody is being taught the same thing. And we know, and most of this book, it's a great book. Anybody of faith could look at this book and really respect the work that's gone into it. Because every single teaching is buffeted by Scripture, by the writings of the saints, by the writings of the popes. Like, everything we believe is backed up. And this is like, I think of it like, I hate to say it this way, but I think of it like Wikipedia. Like, you've got everything, all your answer, you get the short answer, and then it gives you it cites its sources, so you can actually go yeah. and do the work.
And PJ was talking about the scripture reference, so just opening up to a random page in the catechism, so it's not just some guys in pointy hats somewhere over in Italy saying, oh yeah, this is what we teach. It cites everything. So footnote 14 on page 509 of my version cites Luke. 15 cites Luke. 16 cites St. Augustine. Then it goes to the Psalms. Then it goes to Isaiah. Then it goes to Matthew. And then Hebrews. So it's tying in all the different sources that the Catholic Church has of both Scripture and tradition. So you've got the Word of God, and then how the early church fathers wrestled with the Word of God and really put it into practice.
So this is a gold mine when you're trying to write a paper and you need a certain amount of sources on a topic. Because all you just do is you go to the section on the catechism, like you're writing something about the divinity of Christ. Go to the divinity of Christ, yeah. the catechism, look at the footnotes, and then just use those as your sources.
Really wish I'd have figured that out before I got done with 7 years of seminary. That would have made my life a lot easier.
I know.
If anyone's cool. listening to this going into seminary, there's a little tip from your senior brothers. You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and PJ Brandomarty.
So, Britt.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Is this an authoritative magisterial document, the Catechism?
I feel like there is a specific answer you're looking for, but yes, this is. So,
yay.
In the history that I was PJ, this was 1992?
Yeah. So, at the Second Vatican Council, it was decided mm-hmm. that the so we went almost 500 years, and it was decided that we need to update the catechism. So back in the 70s, they started working on the catechism, and it took about 20 years. And finally, the great Pope, St. John Paul the Great, as I call mm-hmm. him, or St. John Paul II, or JP2, we love you. Any are acceptable.
No one says that.
Well, not anymore. When I was growing up, JP2, we love you was a constant theme. Anyway, so St. John Paul the Great promulgated, which is yes. the formal legal term for made this a thing. Mm-hmm. And
made this a thing.
Yeah. I mean, he gave us this beautiful gift of the catechism, a.k.a. the Big Green Book, a.k.a. the official Catechism of the Catholic Church in the authoritative Latin. And then a very short time after that, we got the English translation, which we're familiar with here in the United States, that has been approved by the Holy See and is the authoritative source for all of Catholic teaching.
Right. And so before that, it was there was kind of like the first edition, because what we have now is what's referred to as the second edition of the Catechism. It's not that the Catholic Church printed something, we're like, yeah, no, just kidding, we don't really believe that, let's change it. It happened where we promulgated one, and it was translated, it was in Latin, and it was translated into French, and then from the French, a lot of the other translations happened. So why we have the second edition is because Pope John Paul II wanted everyone to translate from the same common source rather than translating from a translation. Mm. So you're going straight from the Latin, and that's still the way we operate with the different epistles and the different things that the popes or
liturgical books.
Yeah, liturgical books, yeah. Liturgical norms, all these things are...
Because of the directives, the liturgy are authenticum.
Even canon law is promulgated in Latin, and then it's translated and dispersed amongst the different sources.
Right, because then it becomes a game of telephone, and then translate.
Exactly.
The meaning is lost.
Yeah. And it defeats the purpose of why we have the catechism, which is to make it universal that this is what we believe. It's not,
exactly,
this is what America believes. You go over to Australia and...
They have a different teaching.
It's different teaching, and sure, it's upside down, and all the animals are trying to kill you over there.
I mean, they are, but...
So,
but that's not because of the catechism.
We're talking about Latin. I always like to bring up this point because I think that we, in 21st century America, we look at Latin as like this dead language that nobody understands, and it's the way that the church kept everything hidden. But it's important to remember that as late as like 1920, to get accepted into Harvard, you had to be fluent in Latin. You had to write an essay in Latin. Mm-hmm. Anybody who, for the majority of Western history, anybody who could read, they read in Latin. The idea that Latin is a dead language that we don't use anymore is a relatively modern, like post-World War II convention. Mm-hmm. So even back in the 60s and 70s, the majority of people in the church, and even the majority of the people in academia outside of the church, were very fluent in Latin.
Right.
That's why the church puts in everything in the Latin, not because we're trying to hide it or anything, but because from the perspective of most of the people who use these documents on a daily basis, the theologians and the academics, Latin is a very accessible
right,
and living language. It's also very precise. It has a lot. It has a huge vocabulary,
right,
and it has a lot of grammatical structure, so you can communicate exactly the idea.
Right.
So and that's just a little tidbit, but it's important to remember. That's why the church puts all these things in Latin. It's so that we can all have a common tongue, even though we're 1 billion people spread across how many, over 190 yeah, countries.
And to go off that, there's a really interesting point when in seminary formation, some classes were taught in Latin, mm-hmm, and you had a more intensive Latin experience. Mm-hmm. And so you could have a priest from Japan and a priest from America who neither of them speak any contemporary language, but they could still communicate with each other in Latin.
Right.
So that was a pretty cool thing. Yeah.
So now that we've kind of gone over the history of the catechism and how the book that we all know, the big green book that we keep referencing, how it came about, the reason why we wanted to do a show on this and really bring it to everyone's attention, it really... I remember before I entered seminary, it was a very daunting book. I mean, this is a very thick book. It's almost as thick as the Bible, depending on which version you have, if it's all the books or if it's just the New Testament. It's thicker than just the New Testament. So I was,
actually, that catechism is thicker than my Revised Standard Version,
right,
Catholic Edition Bible.
So it's a very daunting book to see on your shelf. And so it goes untouched by a lot of people. But we really want to bring it to your attention because it's very, very easy to use. When they were writing this, they set it up as a reference book where, yes, you can read it cover to cover and you can understand what the faith teaches and you'll get a whole lot of information from it. But it's also used where, you know, what does the Catholic Church teach about drug use, or what does the Catholic Church teach about homosexuality? It's a reference book where you can literally go into the index and just look up the letter that you want. So our most recent show on hope, where we were talking about that theological virtue, I just looked in the back of the book, looked up hope, and it had all the different references that mm-hmm. And it's got the paragraph numbers. And so it's very easy where if you just have a simple question, you just go to the catechism, look in the index and say, okay, so icons, what does the church teach about icons? There's five different references in the catechism where it mentions this and it goes into it. So, Alfonso, how can you use something like this to kind of develop your faith?
Well, I mean, I remember our producer was talking about this before we started the show, but I remember myself, the parish that I went to when I was in college for the Year of Faith, which I think was in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. But for the Year of Faith,
for our show it was.
a lot of parishes were doing they wanted for the Year of Faith to go through the catechism. So it was, they divided up the catechism to 365 days so they could read through it, which is an incredible thing to do because you'll get a really good you get a really deep and a really broad overview of the entire teaching of the church. Now for us as seminarians, I think a really cool thing is, because a lot of guys are everywhere with their knowledge in theology and morals and this in the liturgy and in prayer when they come into seminary. But a really good thing that, at least at the Josephinum, what we do is that guys who are studying philosophy, which is before we get into theological studies, everyone takes four classes on the four different sections of the catechism. And I think that does a really good job with leveling everyone's knowledge at a certain bar before they actually enter into theology.
Mm-hmm.
And so really when I was in, I mean, guys do their own research before coming into seminary on these topics, but coming in and taking these classes really just kind of broadened and took me deeper into the topics. And obviously it's no secret. My favorite topic is moral theology.
No, really?
And so one of my favorite classes was taught by Father Cashin Derbis, who is a Dominican. He was an associate at St. Patrick's here in Columbus. And he taught that section on life in Christ, the moral theology teaching part of the catechism, where we went over the virtues, and it was just great. It was a great experience. And really, like, going through that section, I tell him this again, it really changed my life. I mean, it changes the way I approach the sacrament of confession.
Yeah.
How I approach prayer, how I approach the sacraments, how I view myself. It's just a really amazing and life-changing experience. And so I think for people who see this green book, big green book on the shelf, it's not just arbitrary and capricious statements that the church says, but they're really life-changing elements in there that just reveal not only Christ to the person, but the person to himself.
Right.
So I think it's a really beautiful experience.
It tries to go deeper too than just these, like you're saying, just these statements where it's like, oh, the Catholic Church is an all-male priesthood. And it's not like that's just one paragraph.
Exactly.
It goes into detail about why.
And there's a dialogue.
It's a dialogue. And that's another thing that we'll hit on in a little bit. The compendium is another version of the catechism where it really gets into this more dialogical, this question and answer format. But these references and footnotes that PJ was mentioning in his little intro to it, that's where, so it says Catholics believe and hold an all-male priesthood, and it talks a little bit about it, and then the entire time it's citing in Scripture, in the Church Fathers, in different constitutions from Vatican II, all these different documents, all these different sources to say this is why we believe what we believe.
Which is a change of tone, because you have, for example, Pope St. Pius X, who wrote this document called the Syllabus of Errors.
Yeah.
And he basically said,
love that document, by the way.
PJ,
it's great.
PJ loves the document. But and it's true. Like, everything he says is true. Like, if you do this, you're wrong. If you do this, you're wrong. Yeah. If you do this, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And so...
Wrong. You're wrong.
Exactly. And so there's for the contemporary audience, that's an immediate shutdown.
Yeah.
And so...
we want to know why.
Exactly.
It's not just a... Oh, okay, yeah, I'll bite that, and that makes sense because you tell me to, so let's do it.
And I think after that document was not too well received, I think here in America, especially because of Pope Pius X's position on democracy, and America was, you know, nascent in democracy and really pushing for it. And so he came up with another document after that kind of changed the tone a little bit more. But we've totally seen, I mean, Vatican II is a pastoral council, and so it speaks in a very pastoral way.
and this is a product of it.
And what I mean by pastoral, because I think a lot of people will say there's this notion of being pastoral means bending the truth
and being buddy buddy
and being okay. That's not what we mean, because
the truth is
pastoral.
Yeah,
the truth, because people deserve to know the truth. And so what it means is how it's delivered.
Yeah,
and so the Catechism does a great job in engaging, delivering the truth in its totality, but, you know, being compassionate and engaging with the audience.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's definitely explaining it, and it wants people to know these truths that the Catholic Church holds, because they're necessary for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's coming about in this way of doing it out of love rather than just saying, this is what we believe it or get out, which is kind of what that syllabus of errors was that you're referencing. And one of the things that really I see when I read this is, I mean, to me, it outlines the RCIA program, for the rite of Christian initiation for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so, PJ, how would you take something like this? And I mean, it seems pretty evident, but could you see an RCIA program just by, here's the Catechism, and not just saying, okay, next week read paragraphs 1 through 595?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I've been working in secret for fear of my friends.
Okay, I don't know where this is going.
So I've actually been working on and I really hope that once I get ordained, which actually should have happened by now. When this actually airs. Very excited about that, by the way. I've been working on an RCIA program outline that really integrates the Catechism into it. Because when I was growing up, my family would sit around and we'd read sections of the Catechism. And it's not just hand somebody this book and here you go.
Read it on your own. Yeah.
You can look at what are the most important topics that kind of give the handshake to the faith that RCIA is, and then let's explore what the Catechism has to say about that. And oh, by the way, it's the easiest job in the world, because the Catechism is going to give you everything you need to go and search more.
Yeah.
And then once people have done that, then we can start talking about other resources. But really, until you've exhausted what the Catechism gives you and what the resources that it references can give you, you really don't need to go anywhere else, because this is going to give you the core information that you need in order to integrate these things into your life. And I literally cannot imagine doing RCIA without the Catechism.
Yeah. And that's one of those things. So Alfonso was talking about early in the college level or the pre-theology, for those who have a college degree, that part of, seminary, the philosophy studies, mm-hmm. are supplemented by really delving into the Catechism. And it's for that very reason that PJ was just mentioning, where this is, you need to know the faith before you start talking about the hypostatic union where God or Jesus's human and divine natures are somehow shoved together in one person.
Right.
You need to know what the church teaches before you really start delving into those primary sources with St. Augustine, with St. Thomas Aquinas, as much as it pains
it's
me
like
to say
an
that.
Onion. It's like, yeah. Oh, first. Yeah. Wait, what did you say? Can you repeat that again?
But yeah, what you were saying, it's an onion.
It's, yeah. Well, Britt was saying that it's a high, it's very valuable to learn the great teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine. But you know, yeah, you're right. Well, I'm right. Oh, you're right. It is an onion. And it's like you first learn in catechism the basics.
Yeah.
Three people in the Trinity.
Well, and it goes
Jesus
through the creed
is
the
God.
First section.
Exactly. And then you have to understand, you have to try to go deeper. Well, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Three people in the Trinity, one God. there's a shamrock a really good example of that. No, you have to go deeper. We can go further. And as our academic dean says, if you go up on Trinity Sunday and say, the Holy Trinity, it's a mystery, and that's it, that's all for your homily, then he will hunt us down as the
dogs. There were some threats were made in that class, to say the least.
Help us.
Shout out to Dr. Cajal. Yeah.
Really, the best thing about the Catechism, and there can be confusion out there. I was once asked by somebody in RCIA, I heard Priest A say this, Priest B say this, Priest C say this, and they're all different. Which one do I believe?
D, none of the above, probably.
So whenever you get an answer to a question, you can always check that answer by looking at the catechism asking the person who gave you the answer to show their work and cite their source. Yeah. And if they aren't citing the catechism, there's probably a problem, because the catechism is the authoritative source for what we believe as Catholics. And it's a wonderful resource, and I can't say enough good about it.
And before, we've got to wrap up our show here, but before we close, we would be amiss to not mention the compendium that we talked about earlier, which is kind of the partner in crime for the catechism, where it's got some, it's very approachable in the sense of, and especially for younger people, where you're saying, well, what does the church teach about this? And it's got that exact question lined out where it says, what does the church teach about X? And then it gives you the answer, rather than having to go through the reference style of the catechism. So definitely check out both the catechism and the compendium. Those are very great resources. And with that, if Alfonso, if you'll close us with prayer.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, and you can neither deceive nor be deceived. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thanks, and God bless.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, Veni, Per Maria. O God, who by